Welcome to Mice Cast. Your host Greg, Mike, and
damn right.
Right.
He's trying. He's trying to say it deeper. So here we are.
I can't go as deep as Isaac Hayes can.
Not many people can. I'm not gonna go there. My sophomore brain went someplace bad.
No, not gonna go there. Don't say.
All right, so this episode we're gonna talk about Soaring Over America. None of us have seen. Huh?
To an extent, based on an article.
Yes, I was gonna say
none of us have seen.
None of us have seen Soaring Over America yet.
Hasn't even started in California, I don't believe.
Not for another month.
Yeah, in July, right?
I don't know why they're waiting so long here.
But there's an article out there, an article that I've taken exception to. It's by...
Did a chap your hide?
I don't know if I'll go that far. But
are you vexed?
Yes. I had a reaction, let's say that.
Okay, you're vexed.
So the blog in question is called Disney Fanatic. Their title for their article is Disney's politically charged ride launch faces three growing complaints.
Yeah, if that's not rage bait or clickbait, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
The individual, the name looks like it's a female name. So, but this individual got me to click it because I was like, really?
I think that name identifies as female. So I think we're okay.
Okay, sure. All right. So there's three growing complaints. Two of them, anybody who's a Disney fan or, you know, super online Disney has heard. The two main ones of transitions are clunky and not enough smells, right? That's the two.
It didn't smell bad enough.
No, not enough scent. Not enough scenes with scents.
You know, that scene where they're over... Downs for the Kentucky Derby is we need more horse
poop. Yeah.
Horse poop set there. Yes.
More horse shit in there. Well, okay. So some of this makes me laugh. Let's just take the easy stuff before we roll into your vexness of,
We have a sound for that. We have a sound for that.
Of being vexed.
Yes.
Or consternation.
Oh, no. Vexed.
No! Assholes do vex me!
That's the sound we have for that.
I think you could have cut it a little shorter and got it close to just iPhones vex me.
But assholes vex me.
Oh, assholes. Oh, it sounded like iPhone. That's what I was hearing. Okay, so the biggest thing I'd seen from the videos, here's our first tangent of the night. Disney has been actively telling you you cannot use a phone on some attractions now, correct?
Yes.
It's been all over there.
Like the train.
And if you, the stupid,
the roller coaster.
Yeah, the ride of projection, the roller coaster, all that, you know, BS. This particular attraction won't let you wear these beauties.
That's right.
But you can hold a gimbal in your hand or a cell phone when you're how many feet in the air and could drop it down into the little, you know, valley below the projection. That's okay. I was really kind of shocked.
Okay.
Blown away might be too much. Shocked that they were letting all this cast previews put out video, because I saw another cast preview for that flipping stupid Muppet roller coaster monstrosity, and they were not allowing people to film anything on the inside. Now, a lot of that's come out since, but during the preview, one guy says we're not allowed to show any video of the inside.
Well, okay, so you remember World of Color?
I do remember World of Color.
And they were like policing people trying to release video of it.
Sure.
Well, because I had put a little camera on a light stand, you know, let it record and run when we walked away from it. so I just so I can get like 4 minutes of World of Color released, you know, because that's back when we were really super into that stuff. But you know, but the cast previews—they're not policing each other, I guess.
Even the previews for the annual A-holders didn't seem to have a problem releasing that. But with that said, just wanted to get that out there. I was hoping I really wasn't watching the real thing, that it was some AI BS that put some feet up here. Because I immediately, of course, we couldn't smell it, but I immediately noticed the cuts. And I'm thought, is this a rough edit? Is this not the finished product? And they're just kind of getting a feel of what people think about the particular scenes they chose. The edits are really rough.
Yeah.
They look like, you know, maybe a 12-year-old learning Premiere learning. Or Final Cut Pro has been released at the studio.
This is off of iMovie.
iMovie, oh, yeah. There you go.
Or even worse, feeding 30-second bits into some your favorite AI and let them stitch together.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Seriously, I mean, it looked horrible in that regard. I cannot tell you how many people said that the first scene was the space shuttle launching.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Now, I questioned it. The girl's like, can't be Artemis because it launched in the afternoon. I'm like, you know, this wasn't the first launch. So I looked up the first launch, and it was like 0100. So obviously wasn't that launch either. It's got to be AI. And I think it's come out since that it is AI. And obviously the Statue of Liberty looks...
Oh, the whole New York Harbor looks like...
Yeah.
It looks like a...
Like the opening stuff, have you seen Gangs in New York? The opening scene looks just like a full-on CGI.
But early on, Disney had mentioned that this was going to be an entirely filmed experience.
Okay.
And obviously... There are areas that are not. And people are like, well, they can't film here or they can't film there. They have filmed on a freaking aircraft carrier.
Yes.
They have filmed in many areas.
Think about Soaring Over California.
Confidential.
They're flying Disney, down.
Yeah.
There's no such place that
you can't film.
Following a helicopter with just so happens another ship's cruising by. Just so happens. Yeah. No. Disney can't do that.
Disney can arrange shit if they want to. They've got
connections. It's not even like it's 360. I mean, this stuff was being filmed. The last one when we did Soaring Over, when we did the second Soaring film, that was all red 4K and red 8K cameras out there.
Wait, you mean Soaring Over CGI the world?
Soaring Over the world.
What? Where did they actually film?
They filmed over Disneyland. I was watching over Disneyland.
Okay, maybe Disneyland, but the Taj Mahal was definitely CGI.
Fully.
Almost that entire Africa. Film was CGI.
Paris, maybe. Eiffel Tower might have been real.
Possibly. And, you know, considering how good AI is getting, what I saw from the Statue of Liberty, now granted, we're seeing it recorded from something else. It's like, you know, you watch those ghost shows and Zach's like, one of my all-time lines I hate, I saw it with my own eyes. Well, who else's fucking eyes are you going to see it with? You know, you only have these. But sometimes recordings, when you're hearing a recording of a recording,
there's
it's not as clear.
There's
it's not
hiss like hearing it, and noise, you know? Introduced. Yeah. Copy of a copy. Yeah.
So I was hoping that might be the case with the Statue of Liberty. But until I get to see it, you know, I don't know. But the edits look really bad.
Yeah.
Now, the smells, I'm like, get over yourselves. Because Disney didn't provide you one or two more smells, which it seems like obviously they could have. There's nothing. I hear one of the smells is LA, though it doesn't smell like shit and discarded needles.
I was
going to
say, what does
like
LA
that.
Smell like?
Burnt.
Well, I'm
Burt
sure
Wood.
It's the beachy smell they're trying to get. I don't remember. What were the three smells that it say in the article?
Okay, so three scents across the entire film, fresh grass over the prairie, earthy swamp, in Louisiana. Earthy swamp.
What I really want. I really want to smell an earthy swamp in Louisiana.
And hibiscus in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. You know what we call a swamp in California? Wetlands.
Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles River, right?
Yeah.
Let me think for a second to Soren, right? We have the orange groves, which is really a picture of a lemon grove.
Yeah, we have the sea smell. Yeah, the sea smell. The surfers.
And we have pine.
Going over the river in the forest.
And maybe again at the skiers at Tahoe, do we smell some pine there? Or do we smell some pine in Yosemite?
I don't remember smelling anything in there.
But see, yeah, air you get twice.
Jet exhaust when the...
yeah, there you go, when we're flying behind that helicopter.
No, when the two jets go across Anzo Borrego.
The Thunderbirds, you mean?
Yeah, those guys.
All right, so, but they reuse scents, right? We get sea air twice, I know that.
Yeah.
I think we get pine twice.
Again, having a scent is it's nice, but does it make the movie?
According to this individual, scent has always been one of the things that separates Soren from every other large format film experience.
Oh, I'm glad you read that line, because when I read that line earlier, I'm like, I got to remember this. really, that separates the difference from other large format films.
What else is there? Circle Vision?
What other large format other than Circle Vision are we comparing this to? IMAX. There is no IMAX at Disney.
Captain EO?
No, she just said other large format films. She didn't say
in the parks. No, in the parks. Yeah. Other large format film experiences in the parks.
There are none. Yeah, we're just going over them. Are we listening?
Circle Vision.
What's the one, I think it's closing, that replaced the Mickey Mouse Review?
Oh, PhilharMagic?
PhilharMagic.
Yeah. Muppet
Vision.
And there
are some spitting and spraying and smelling on you in there, I think.
Bug's Life had scent.
You used to fart in there, right? Didn't we have a fart?
You had the stink bug. You also had Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah.
I don't remember smelling that one.
By the way, EO, did you know they're showing Pixar shorts in there now?
No.
That's what she said. I keep meaning to go over there. That's what I wanted to do today. Okay. I was over in that direction. I wanted to see what
some person almost came to tears that they finally got to go in that theater. And I'm like, you don't know. Right. You don't know what you missed. Even with the reissue of EO, a lot of the effects weren't even brought back for the second filming of that. I heard what you were about to say, but I believe that that's all been disproven now, but I'm not going to swear to it at the moment.
Okay.
He was going into the pedo thing with a certain person we will not mention, but we've driven by his home out there near Solvang. Are you putting it together? You're not. It looks like
yes, I am.
Okay. So the third criticism, right? The first two.
Are you?
I'm moving on, right? The third criticism.
I know you are.
Okay. You got more to talk about smells?
No.
Okay.
I thought it was a funny comment, and I'm like, got it. This is make or breaking you ever rewriting this.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know.
Okay. I think the jarring transition would probably be a bigger problem.
I think we just need to give her a scratch and sniff. So
yeah, hand you scratch and sniff card at your board.
There you go. Hand those out at boarding.
And just do them in order. In the corner. every time number the scene five. Changes, scratch the next one.
Number six. Okay.
That's a fantastic idea, Richard. All right. So the third criticism, according to this individual, is also the hardest one to dismiss.
Uh-oh.
In social media discussions, right, because social media is the pulse of America, following cast member preview, Soarin' Over California, the original 2001 opening day attraction at Disney California Adventure, is repeatedly being cited as still the best version of the ride. So far, I would agree. Not the most geographically expansive? Of course not, because California, right? Everybody else.
But the
best full stop. All right. And then with all the technology, a quarter century behind it, consistent absence of guests saying Soarin' Across America has become their new favorite is a problem worth naming directly. And here it is. The political reception adds another layer.
It's a freaking show about the 250th anniversary of our country.
Yeah, yeah.
Semi-quinquennial.
Semi-quincentennial, yeah, right?
Say that five times in a row.
So, yes. So 100 years ago, did they call it the semi-tricentennial?
That's right.
Did they? I don't know. I wasn't around.
I don't know. We had the bicentennial. I don't know why we had the bicentennial.
You're sitting at a computer. You can look it up yourself.
Here's a freaking tent. Are you casting your ballot? Is that what I see you do? I got to do that.
Did you see how many people are running for freaking governor in this state?
Yes, I did.
Stupid. All right.
It's like, that.
It's a whole page.
It's a whole page.
It reminds me of when we had, 100 and some people running for governor, including the porn star. Oh. I was looking for her name in there.
That would have been fun, right?
All right. So before I go down this rabbit hole, what ticked me off about calling this political, we were all teenagers or very close to being teenagers for the bicentennial, right? I remember the bicentennial being a big freaking deal.
Yes.
Like a 2-year celebration. They reissued.
Yes.
They reissued quarters, bicentennial quarters. They reissued special $2 bills.
We had the big tall ships.
We had the Freedom Train that went all around the country.
Special stamps. The Freedom Train brought the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence around, right?
Stood for hours at the parking lot of the Anaheim Stadium to see that.
Yeah.
And my grade school, every door is painted like a flag from the Revolution or the early stages of the Stars and Stripes, right? And we all got three kids at a time got a sign. That's your door. Here's your flag. The custodians came and painted the blue field and the stripes for you, and you had to do the stars. It was a big freaking deal. Disneyland, a parade, a daytime parade.
Yeah. The big heads.
Yeah.
The giant head parade is cool.
America on parade. 2 years. Freaking new attraction.
I still have the program guide and map book from 1976.
So I'm going to say
I still have the record.
Nice.
That's even cooler.
With the picture on it, you know?
Yeah.
The United.
But I think he missed because he was blabbing. He said new attraction. America sings.
That was 1974 when it came out.
Yeah, because it was, like I said, a 2-year celebration.
2 years, yeah.
I mean, the stamp, the bicentennial stamp, you know, the negative space star made from I think that was issued in 71, 72. It was way early. But it was a big fucking deal, right? And the United States, you know, however 200 million of us were around at the time, it was a big freaking deal to everybody.
Yeah.
And we all got into it, right? And now, according to this person, it's a freaking, it's a politically divisive instance.
Well, I think they're rage baiting and click baiting us here with maybe one or two negative posts. Now, here's what this is what bothers me about social media and where we put a lot of stock in it. If you eliminate the people who are not in this country, you know, that are making comments, because it's a worldwide thing. They can figure this crap out. But my pay grade, but I know they can figure it out. And you take our population, 350 million roughly. If you were to minus out the children, I don't know, where do you end up? 300 million? I'm not sure where we're at there. But hopefully you're following the math, because, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson says that's the language of the universe. Now you divide that about how many posts or, you know, likes or, you know, whatever they get on these things. And a lot of times it's not even a percent, but this is the pulse of the country.
Yeah, no, I know it's bullshit, but it's still freaking.
It's, I know.
This person's position. Okay, but this is not, all right, this is an article on some blog. I have no idea what the reach is. It might be 5 people. It might be 500 people, right? It might be 5,000. I don't know. But this person, I'm going to guess, is not over the age of 30. And part of their identity is probably politics. Now, my point about
politics after 2000.
Yeah. My point about the bicentennial was, you know, back then, you know, there was political leanings left and right, but it was margins, right? Everybody who thought.
No frame of reference for. Now, okay, here it is. Alyssa Dunn, Orlando theme park lover, who loves, a lot of loves going on here. Lando theme park lover who loves thrills and theming with a side of entertainment. You can often catch me at Disney or Universal sipping a cocktail or crying during Happily Ever After or Fantasmic. Now, what none of these people ever say, and this, I was saying this to Karen one night, they kind of come off, when you're a blogger, don't you sort of come off as somewhat of a journalist?
Yeah. No.
You kind of present yourself in yes. that respect.
Absolutely.
And some of the least journalistic type writings, headlines, you know, bullshit I see, especially in Disney blogs. Now, luckily, this one was short. A lot of them I read spend, let's say there's 10 paragraphs. They'll spend 7 paragraphs
telling fluffing
the
it
fan
up.
Base
yeah.
what we already know. Now, Karen's like, well, what if somebody that doesn't follow Disney reads this? I'm like, really, what's the chance that they care in the first place?
All right.
And, you know, when you got to tell me the history behind pirates before you tell me they took a pirate out or added a pirate, you know, so just get to the point,
well,
right?
Okay, but we need, I think I need to read the actual two the paragraphs. Yeah.
That's all right. Really vexing you?
Yeah, well, so the finale image of Spaceship Earth entirely wrapped in an American flag has drawn the sharpest reaction. I think
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's drawn the sharpest reaction from the person writing this, but let me continue. Yeah. Spaceship Earth was designed to symbolize global communication, shared human progress, and universal connection. The choice to cover it with a national flag at the climax of a patriotic American celebration reads as a meaningful departure from what the structure represents, and a vocal contingent of guests is saying so publicly. Here we go.
See, I counter that completely.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, there's more. The nickname Soarin' Over MAGA has emerged from social media discussions and spread widely enough to be part of the conversation before the public opening. The ride was designed as a bipartisan celebration of America's 250th birthday through the Disney Celebrates America initiative. The gap between that intent and the reception some guests are bringing to it is real and is not going away before May 26th. Well, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
The American, tell us, Mike. If the American tell flag us. Is a politically divisive symbol to you, I think you live in the wrong place. And
I agree.
And I dare you, if you think it's politically divisive, to go find a better place to live and go there. Because if the United States can't hold up to your, whatever your pie in the sky vision of utopia is, then I'm sorry. No matter what its warts and problems, the United States is the best freaking country in the world to live in. And if you don't like it, just go. And I'm saying this as a veteran, right? Our show, we try not to politically align. Sometimes it slips out. Yeah. This is bullshit.
Yeah. No matter where you align, I think, you know, having a little bit of patriotic feelings and attitude towards your country is a positive thing. Sure. Like you said, we're not perfect. We have our problems. We've had problems. We've cured some, not others. But let's say, for instance, because it really does need to be done, Paris gets a new film. Now, Katrina told me something that I didn't know, that the 180 Paris film is only shown a certain time during the day because it's swapped out with another film. I forgot what it was that she said she saw in there, but they didn't see the Paris film. So let's say, you know, France was coming up to, I shouldn't say the Paris film, the French film, let's say Impressions de France.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So let's say France was coming up to their 550. I don't know how old France is at the moment.
The Republic's just a tad bit younger than ours.
Oh, that's true, because it was a monarchy before that. Good call, right. Richard. So let's say it's their 250. They make a new film, and the ending of that film ends with a, you know, French flag draped Epcot pavilion, you know, somehow, and that's the way it ends. I would be like,
yeah, good for you.
Yeah, yeah,
good
yeah.
for you. I you know, I have, if we had a Soviet Union or Russian thing, I would say the same thing for them. It's their celebration where, you know, Epcot is only in one place in the world, America. What's the big deal? Now, it does make me wonder if the ending for Disneyland's will be different. Why show Epcot for the end of the Disneyland film? I have nothing's wrong with Epcot, but you want to make it a little unique.
It's a digital, good question.
It's editing.
That's swap out, I'm sure.
Yeah. But when I saw that, I thought, damn, that was kind of cool. I expected it to end at a castle or, you know, a traditional kind of park ending like the other Soarin's have been. But I actually thought this was kind of cool. Yeah, and if you're triggered by an American flag, you maybe look inward. There's got to be, again, if, let's say, we have lived through some times with presidents I didn't particularly care for. In fact, the 75 you're talking about is not that many years off of Watergate.
No,
for those those too young to know what that is, maybe look it up. Those were very divisive times. Yet somehow we came out of those divisive times, celebrated together for the 250th
or 200th bicentennial.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 200th bicentennial. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect kumbaya, but hey, stop for a minute and appreciate it's not a bad place.
The president at the time, right, 1975, was the only president we've had.
Has never been elected.
Never been elected, but there's some people out there that think there's others, but I don't, again, we're not political but here.
Truly never elected because he wasn't a vice president.
Nope.
He was appointed
vice president, but he was appointed
to the VP.
Well, that's what I said. He was appointed
vice president. He didn't run on a ticket.
Yeah.
But, you know, this situation of calling the flag of these here United States is politically divisive is bullshit.
Yeah.
And we're all Americans here, right? And that just went beyond for me. That made me angry.
Oh, I got off on a tangent a little bit. What I was going to say about their about her little blurb about herself, I find it's very common amongst the Disney bloggers. None of them seem to claim any, you know, like journalistic
background, right?
Background's all about, they're almost 100%. These are the why people like Matt Walsh goes, Disney adults need to like not go to the parks. I don't agree with him because, you know, Disneyland was not made just, you know, for kids.
No.
You know, the famous quote of Walt saying the oldies come during the week when there's no kids around, which I still find funny that he calls them oldies because he was one of them.
Well, you know, takes one to know one, right?
Sure. But the term oldies, I don't know if that was commonly used in the 60s or the 50s, but I find it funny every time I hear it. I found this problematic too. When I hear people want to take out Hall of Presidents, I think the same thing. Yes, it's not for every worldwide traveler, and a lot of them skip it. So what? It's a nice little piece of history. I wish it still had the Drummond Five Corps. And you know, when here's how we've celebrated other countries. Canada was instrumental in helping us get the hostages out of Iran 40 years ago.
Yes.
Something that's hopefully going to get wrapped up soon. We had their Canadian Drummond Fife Corps come in and do the job of what the American Drummond Fife Corps was doing when the park opened. I don't know how long they did it, a year, 2 years, maybe 6 months. Don't remember, but I thought that was kind of cool. Come on, Canucks, come in and, you know, celebrate with us. Thank you, you know, for helping us out. This is a cool thing.
Being good neighbors.
I mean, who said Epcot, we had to share the rest of the world with you? But we're doing it. You know, it's supposed to be one big happy world. So, you know, in Epcot, we're one big sharing of cultures. What's the big deal? You know, like I say, as a veteran also, I'm very offended by people who trample the flag. I know that's why we supposedly fought and served to protect everybody's right to do whatever they want.
Yes.
But there are certain flags that have protected status that you can't stomp on, burn, or do whatever. But the American flag, go for it. It's always the double standard has always kind of bothered me.
Like I said, if it's right behind me,
Valley Forge sitting right behind me here, that Matt Frampa met us up there, and it had been a while. He works really close to it, but that's my whole thing about it. You live close to the things that you don't see because they're in your backyard.
Dude, the lawyer's going to be there.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, I just wish it would be nice if the America 250 celebration was as big a deal as it was 50 years ago. And I don't know if it's because it's a mid, you know, it's not, it's a 50, right? It's a halfway point.
Why are we celebrating 70? You know, it should have been waiting to 75. We went from 50, as far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't have done 60. We should have done 75. We're talking about park celebrations.
Okay.
Big years, you know, 50. Wow. Disneyland made it to 50. Are we going to be around for 100?
We should.
Possibly, you know.
If you look, if you clean and healthy living.
Yeah, but 75. But I don't know. Now they're doing it like every 5 years. It almost it cheapens it. It doesn't it make does. It to be it that. Does. As,
well, we've already
it runs on forever, and you know.
I already have a show about that.
America 250. That's a quarter of a millennium. That's a big deal in my book.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hey.
This experiment in democracy, and it's still
exactly, and it's still going.
Well,
and again, exactly. Not perfect, but you know, we're doing our best.
It's better than better than anything else.
This is where it really is kind of sad we don't have circle vision still, because I always remember, you know, the scenes with Abraham Lincoln and the Lincoln Memorial and everything. It's just like, and the shots that were taken out in Gettysburg and everything. It hit certain spots there to where you realize.
Oh, it's been so long. It might be mixing that with the one that you were on the cutting room floor, American Journeys.
American Journeys, yeah.
Okay. But one of one of those two, and I don't remember which, there were some recent immigrants legally, and they were talking about how they were there to be Americans. And I don't remember
American
which
journeys.
American Journeys. And that always kind of stuck with me. It's like, yeah, you're here for the American dream. You're not here for any other reason but to be an American. And I don't see that same sentiment as much anymore. And that kind of goes into this, you know, offended by the flag at Epcot. You know?
Remember in the American Pavilion at Epcot, I had all those paintings in there and all the different words of wisdom from all the different people. I cannot remember who quoted it, but the one that always sticks out in my mind is, you who are born here don't understand what it's like to be truly an American. To come here from somewhere else and with the words of a man instantly leave all those dead yesterdays behind to all those promising new days ahead.
I'm sure if you would have spoke that into AI, it would have found it for you.
Probably would, but I don't have AI.
But yeah, no, I think I understand that. And I do follow this guy that's it sounds like he's from Russia, Ukraine, and he's always bagging on these people who don't seem to be here.
Don't have an idea.
America. Yeah.
Well,
they're just here. Whether legal or illegal, they're not here to be Americans. They're here to be fill in country while living in America, but not. I mean, people used to come here and assimilate. Wish I spoke all the languages of the diverse background. I would be speaking Gaelic, Russian, German, Danish, little American Indian, if we could find which tribe she was, you know, connected to. But they chose. By a generation to have dropped their native languages and be American and speak English. And that's both pro and con, because I could see, you know, hold on to some of that, at home, some of the food stuff, you know, some of that stuff.
You don't have to give up your tradition, but you know, you can't force everyone else around you to embrace where you came from. You come here and embrace what's going on here.
Okay.
Otherwise, why did you bother?
Yeah.
Through the miracle of AI, I got it here.
You found
George,
it?
Yeah, George Megar Mardikian, who is a restaurateur and author in America. You, who have been born in America, I wish I could make you understand what it's like not to be an American. One moment you belong with your fathers to a million dead yesterdays. The next you belong with America to a million unborn tomorrows.
That's fantastic. That's fat.
And why? I wonder where they found this guy to get a quote from him. Did he go on to be some kind of lecturer. And probably just he's a restaurateur.
Well, he's a restaurateur, but also an author too. It says naturalized American author.
Okay, I just wondered. So. How do some people rise through the muck before social media? And a lot of the rising through the muck in social media, they're still really in the muck when you.
This particular person writes for just about every Disney blog out there.
That doesn't surprise me.
She has posts on Inside the Magic. She has posts on Disney Fanatic. Posts on DisneyDining.com. Your favorite.
Disney Dining. I've really given them a lot of shit, saying stick to dining because you don't know what you're talking about. In this instance, we know somebody that was asked to write for which one did you say? Inside the Magic? What was the other one you said? One of the big ones that's been around for a long time. You just read them, aren't they in front of your face?
No, I said Disney Dining, Inside the Magic, and Disney Fanatic. But Disney Fanatic has been around forever. You talk about Nathan Rose's thing.
I'm thinking Mice Chat, I think.
Okay.
And agreement was
Mice Chat, yes. I know
he's not gonna get in the muck. He's not gonna, fantasize and make up shit. You want me to write for you, it's going to be even steeper.
Factual.
Yeah.
This is it's not even funny.
That's the other thing. If you're going to write an opinion piece, tell us, this is my problem with news. And it was, it's been a unfortunate, you do something good, but sometimes you're not looking at what other things could possibly come out of it. And some of the deregulation.
Second and third order effects.
Unintended consequences.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
News used to be a lost leader. You had to carry some news to have your license, and you had to give equal to both sides. And if you went off on a tangent commentary, it literally says on the screen, commentary.
Yes.
Have you seen?
Now it's not. And every news source, doesn't matter which side of the spectrum, all go into the opinion. Just give me the facts. I don't give a shit about what you think about it. Just tell me what happened. I don't need to hear that a lumbering suburban plowed through an intersection, because that's not the story. A bad driver plowed through the intersection. I don't need to know what kind of car.
Or was drunk.
It's really not important unless the car manufacturer malfunctioned or something, let's say Tesla, battery blows up. If a car burns up these days, 95%, you're probably looking towards electric.
Well, the headline of, suburban drives through crowd, suburbans don't drive themselves.
Well, that's my point. But you see this all the time.
And they don't want to presuppose the road. They don't want to presuppose a person's intentions. Okay, fine.
I don't know how you can get a decent jury these days, because everything you read almost gives you, this person is PO'd by it, and she's telling everybody she's PO'd by it and finding something to justify it. Might have been one post, but that was enough for her to post this saying, I'm upset by it.
Yeah, well, all right.
She be equally upset if they had projected it over Contemporary, something else and filmed that?
Or the American Adventure Pavilion.
There's not enough flat space.
No, I know.
Here's the thing.
Yes, Richard.
The film is in Epcot Center. You're going to be finishing it with Epcot. The golf ball's a natural spot. I mean, that's the banana.
It's better than Siemens. It was all over it.
Yes.
Siemens over the balls.
Yeah. I really never understood Soarin' at Epcot. The land. Okay. I don't know. It seemed like, we got a ride we can milk some more time off of people in Florida with. Let's just shove it in the space.
Let's be honest. It's a fantastic ride. We all loved it from the ride. Right. So Disney goes, we have a hit on our hands. We need to put it everywhere else.
No, that part is totally understandable. But where they shoved it in, they didn't really need it.
I don't know. I think
that's for another show.
I probably had space. Well, that sounds like a fantastic time to go like that. Because I think we've already gotten enough out of this.
You should have found a more patriotic
song. I don't want to deal with stupid copyright strikes. Thank you very much.
That's true.
But yeah, so that's the long and short of that. I know I usually don't get incensed that quickly or easily from rage bait stuff, but that just the whole American flag thing pisses me off. So there you go.
You should send her the link to this show.
Yeah, we should. Okay, if we can find a real article. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And
thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. You all have a good night.